Heroes in the world of sports are not uncommon. Oftentimes, thrusting themselves into the limelight through unimaginable feats.
Back behind the ball, Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters Champion!
And breathtaking performances.
Here's how you count to eight, three, two, one. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky.
But behind every great hero, there are others. Individuals who play a crucial role in the achievements of those we read about in the headlines. The ultimate team players. Content to stand behind the curtain, embracing their place as a vital part of a sport's success. In horse racing, these are the unsung heroes.
Well, there are so many unsung heroes in our sport. I have the privilege now of welcoming yet another. That is exercise writer Katie Tolbert, who is partners with Champion Essential Quality in the morning for trainer Brad Cox. And Essential Quality going on to win the Travers last week had to bring a huge smile to her face, and she's with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Katie, good morning, and congratulations on being this week's unsung hero.
Good morning, and thank you very much.
Tell me about watching Essential Quality stroll the victory. Well, I can't say stroll. It was a battle, but seeing him hold on in that Travers Stakes last weekend.
Yeah, he keeps us waiting for sure, but but he's a little bit like that. He kind of only does what he has to do, and it helps all of us that we know that Louis does such a good job with him and has so much confidence in him. You try not to worry because he doesn't look worried. He certainly looks like he knows what he's doing, and he usually gets there for us. So,
is he like that in the mornings too? Does he just kind of do enough in the mornings, or do you get more from him in the mornings?
He's a little bit playful sometimes, like with the pony. He wants to kind of play with the pony. And, you know, sometimes when he's feeling good, he kind of jumps around a little. But he's actually, I would love to say that he's super difficult to ride and I am exceptional. But he is really not all that. Like, he kind of takes it easy on himself, too. So it's more just keeping him focused and paying attention and making sure that, you know, you stay where you're supposed to be and, you know, focused and stuff. But he's pretty easy on himself, which is great for us because it helps a lot in keeping him sound and happy. So
what's been your favorite Essential Quality moment?
For sure winning the Travers, but he's just such a cool horse, and it's been fun kind of getting to know him. I worked in the barn with him in Churchill, but wasn't riding him until I came up here to Saratoga, and I feel like I really have kind of gotten to know him now, and he's really cool. So, but for sure winning the Travers.
Yeah, that was pretty special. Talking with Katie Tolbert, exercise rider with Brad Cox. She has been around some really good horses in her career. Katie, let's go back to the beginning. This unsung hero segment, all about you. Take me through your background. How did you first get introduced to horses and to racing?
I have always loved animals of all kinds, and especially horses. And but I grew up in kind of upstate South Carolina, and there's no racing, and not a whole lot of, you know, people have horses in their backyard. They do some Western stuff, and there's some show horses, but it's small time kind of things, which is fine. I loved all of it. But I didn't have, as my aunt had a horse on my grandparents' farm, and my cousins had some horses, and I'd, you know, play around when I could, but I didn't do anything serious until when I went to college. I studied equine business. I went to Clemson, got a degree in that, and they had a farm, and I worked at the farm and took all the classes I could, and had some friends that had horses, went and rode anytime I could, and graduated and still wasn't sure what I was going to do, but I figured, well, if there's a degree, there must be some jobs somewhere. So I applied for an internship program that came and talked to us at Clemson from Kentucky. That was a 6-month internship, and I got that and ended up at Judmont Farms doing a 6-month internship in the fall of 2006. And we were mostly breaking babies, but we lived on the farm, and so anything that came up, they were really great about, hey, do you want to help us with this? Do you want to help with that? And so we helped in the breeding shed. We'd go back at night and turn horses out, you know, all that. And then I ended up staying on and working with them for a few years. And then they knew that I was kind of interested in doing some more things. And the horses, at that time, the horses they had that stayed in the U.S. went to Bobby Frankel. So they set me up to go and work for a winter. I went down to Gulfstream for a winter with his crew, came up to Keeneland, Belmont, then came ended up back in Kentucky, and he died that fall. So it was a kind of short-lived stint with their crew. Then I worked in Kentucky for a year or two, and then ended up with a farm called Sagamore Farm that's based out of Maryland.
Sure.
I worked there for almost 10 years through the, like, three trainers that they had. Ending with Stan Huff, who was a big trainer in New York and all over for a while. We had a really nice horse at the very end named Global Campaign that ended up running third in the Classic. So that was exciting. Then I went back to work with Horacio De Paz, who trained for Sagamore before, for a little while in New York, until I started with Brad this winter in Florida. So started with him in Florida this winter, did Florida, Churchill, and up here. I'm headed back to Churchill soon, I think. So,
yeah, very cool. What a great background, a great story.
Yeah, it's been fun. I've been really lucky.
I was listening to you tell your story about, you know, going to Clemson and, you know, getting the degree in animal science and then, you know, kind of things going from there. When I started on radio, I never imagined I'd be in radio. I was working at Keeneland and Horse ID, and there was somebody doing a show, my mentor, Pete Coolis. He said, "Hey, what do you think of sitting in and being a co-host with me on the radio?" When I moved to Kentucky in 1997, I didn't imagine that I was going to be on radio. And it's funny how things just kind of develop and grow in your life. When you were going to Clemson and you're attending those classes, did you ever picture yourself working on the racetrack the way you are today?
No. And not to say that I wouldn't have wanted to, I guess I just didn't know that I could or know how to get to there. I think when I was there, I don't think so. I mean, like, I watched racing as a kid on TV, but I, you know, it's not something I really ever realized that I would be able to do or be involved with or that I could get involved with. So it's been really fun.
What do you like most about it?
I mean, I love the horses, but I love all horses. And I mean, it is really great to be around ones like this, but I love animals, and I like the history. I like the early mornings, watching the sunrise, being on the track, and, you know, being around, excuse me, you know, all the really important people. And, you know, it's really cool to, like, be involved with. Like I said, I just love the horses, and I love to watch. Like, I could sit and just watch races all day I don't care who the horses are. I don't care who the people are. Like, I just like to watch them. Like, it's just, they're athletes and they're amazing. And it's really cool.
This segment, Unsung Heroes, was created to recognize people like yourself, Katie, who do wonderful work, are such an integral part of making the game a success, but aren't the ones doing the interviews after the race. Like, Brad Cox is the guy in the spotlight,
right?
But he'd be the
Which
first to tell you.
For me,
it takes a village, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a village. But I thought it was important to recognize you and your accomplishments and to hear your story now. I think it's even more important to get this story out there for people that might be thinking about getting involved. Take me through your typical day. How does it start for Katie Tolbert? What do you do? Walk me through it.
We get to the barn probably between 4:15, 4:30. We have a decent number of people here. So depending on how many people we have, I do more or less like first thing in the morning. But, you know, the assistants sort of, we either go through and check the horses, make sure they've eaten, make sure they're, you know, check temps, make sure everything is going smoothly or has gone smoothly overnight. Set up tack for the sets that are getting ready to go out. I spend most of the morning riding. And here we're pretty busy. We get the horses out, everybody jogs on the road to, like, make sure they look good. We put bandages on everybody. We start riding around 5:30, and, like, today we took out 10 sets or so we finish around 10. Then at the end of the morning, depending on if we have racing, we get stuff set up for races, get, you know, everybody's equipment set up and make sure everything is organized for people that are going to be coming back in the afternoons to run the horses. If we have any vet work to do, the vets come at the end of training if they need to, you know, look at anything or scope horses that have breezed or anything like that. Set up things with blacksmith, make sure, you know, it's a lot of just keeping everything running smoothly and keeping everybody communicating and organized and making sure everything's getting done right, feeding.
Yeah.
And then, so if we're not racing, we have a break in the middle of the afternoon, come back, make feed for everybody, check everything again, clean up. There's a lot of cleaning.
You said that essential quality was pretty easy to handle and not much out of the ordinary with him. But tell me about the most challenging horse that you've ever been aboard in the mornings.
I've ridden a few that are really strong, and that's always a little difficult. I have one now that's a little bit challenging, and actually she was really good this morning. But the hardest thing the one that I have now that's really tricky is she's very sensitive mouth, but she's also really strong. So it's a really fine balance of trying to, like, not be too rough with her, but also keep her at the speed that you want to keep her at and going the right direction. So, you know, and breaking babies, you always run into ones that are dumb and jump around and act like idiots. But I've also been really fortunate to work with people that have had a lot of really well-bred horses and really well-handled horses and very good help. That makes a huge difference to riders, you know, because even if you have trouble with horses, you know, we have a pony that can go with us, or we have people that can help you get back and forth to the track, or, you know, we set up the schedule well so that they go out in a set that's quiet, or, you know, and that, like, that makes a huge difference. You know, if there's a lot of people that don't have that, and it makes it really difficult when you have a difficult horse.
As the exercise rider that's getting on the horses in the morning, how much interaction do you have with the jockeys who are riding in the afternoon? Do you talk much to them and give them a little insight, or is that something you just don't do?
Maybe a little. I mean, Brad does a lot of that, and Brad is especially good, I think, with talking to his riders and getting opinions and on how the horses are going or what they like or what they're happy with. And some people, you ride for them and they want you to come back and say, oh yeah, you went good. And if you have something more to say, like, they're not interested in hearing that. And Brad is really good about listening to your opinions and try, you know, if I say, like, hey, I think he might go better with this bit, or I think he might go better with blinkers, or, you know, I think he might do better like this or that. Like, he's always willing to, like, try something or, you know, do. And I guess it helps that you have good riders that will give you good input, but it's really nice to feel like you're able to have those sort of conversations and that it, you know, that he cares. So that's one thing that's really, really rewarding about this job in particular.
What would you like the next chapter to be, Katie? Do you want to train? Have you ever thought about riding races? Where do you see things going?
Oh, well, I'm much too big to ride races, so that's definitely out of the question. I don't know. I really like what I'm doing now. I like being an assistant because I feel like I love the riding. And if I at some point get too old for that, I'll be pretty sad. But I love being an assistant because I feel like you have a lot of responsibility without everything being on you. I think I would like the work of training. I'm not sure if I'd like all the phone calls and the interviews and all of the rest of that. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm pretty happy where I am for right now.
You going to be glued to the TV to watch Clemson, Georgia this weekend?
Oh, I'm pretty excited. We're all Clemson folks are diehard football fans, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Katie Tolbert, this week's unsung hero, the segment presented by Claiborne. She is working with Brad Cox, doing wonderful work, including with Champion Essential Quality and so many other horses, and there are plenty of good ones in that barn right now. Yeah, appreciate the visit. It's been wonderful to hear your story, and again, congratulations on being named this week's unsung hero. Keep it rolling.
Thank you so much.
All right, Katie Tolbert, unsung hero, and I'll be back in 30 seconds right after this word from Claiborne.
Deep in the heart of horse country, from these Kentucky hills has sprung a legacy rivaled by few. From the all-time greats of yesterday to the breed-shaping bloodlines of today, our roots hold strong with the promise of tomorrow. For over a century, our passion has guided us to where we stand and everything we stand for. Claiborne Farm, the tradition continues.